Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You gotta jump in there.
Man, it's a big old reunion today.
Yes.
Thank God.
2 Peter chapter 2, if you would. Second Peter and chapter 2. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for this day. We thank you for bringing us all here together, Father, and we pray that you would bless each and every heart, those who are here, those who are on the way, and Father, everywhere that your word is open this morning, that your word would go forth with power and that it would work effectually in those that believe. Father, we thank you for all of your grace and your blessings to us. We pray that you'd guide us through your word now and throughout the service. In the name of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, amen. 2 Peter chapter 2. Let's read the first three verses and we'll see if we get that far today. 2 Peter chapter 2. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. All right. Well, we have gotten this far now in our study in 2 Peter. Here in chapter 2, Peter says, There were false prophets also among the people. So we need to back up and find out what that also is about. And in chapter 1, he says in verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Then he says, but there were false prophets also among the people. So he's talking about the word of God, and he's talking about how the prophets of old didn't speak of their own accord and out of their own minds, and we talked about that. The prophecy came not by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, and no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. And we talked about those verses last time we were together here. And so now he has given you the map, as it were. He says, we were eyewitnesses of Christ and of his majesty and his coming on the Mount of Transfiguration, but you have a more sure word of prophecy. So Peter is guiding them to the word of God. And he says, but there were false prophets also among the people. So they had these prophets that were speaking as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, but then you also had these other prophets that were false prophets, also claiming to speak in the name of God. And And it's pretty much always that way. We don't always have prophets. There are people who claim to be prophets that are not at all. But even when they did have prophets, people standing up and giving new pieces of revelation, there are also, at the same time, as there will be, Peter says, there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. So they're going to be in that situation again. So you think to yourself, well, if you've got one guy over here telling me something, and you've got another guy over here telling me something, how am I supposed to know? They're both claiming to speak for God. They're telling me something that I've never heard before, and wanting me to take their word for it. How am I supposed to know? How are these people supposed to know? Now, for you and for me, again, there are no prophets today. So we simply go to the written word of God, right?
Right.
Well, that's exactly what Peter is telling his folks. You have a more sure word of prophecy, better than an eyewitness testimony, better than the voice that we heard. So he's preparing them there at the end of chapter 1 as he goes preparing to go into chapter 2 and tell them there's going to be other people who are telling you that they heard the voice of God. And he says, how do you know? How do you know the difference? Well, what you've got that's more sure than any of that is the scripture. Come with me to Deuteronomy chapter 13. It's really not that difficult to discern what a true prophet is from a false prophet if you know how to test them. Deuteronomy chapter 13. It's easier than people think. People say very similar things today about the Word of God. One person's got one idea, and one person's got another idea, and they both swear that they're right. How am I supposed to know? Well, do you have a brain? Do you know how to read? You know, it's the same thing today as it always has been. You've got the Word of God yourself. That's how you determine. Deuteronomy 13. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. So now you've got a prophet, and he does a sign, he does a wonder, he does a miracle, and the miracle doesn't fail, it comes to pass. He either prophesies something that's going to happen, and sure enough, there it is, or he does some sort of a miracle right in front of you. Then you go, well, this guy must be from God. No, that's not the test. Because what are the words then that are coming out of his mouth? Okay, now that you know that God is working in me, let's go after this other God. Well, no. If you don't have to have, you know, a deep theological, thorough knowledge of every word of Scripture to know that you don't go chasing after other gods. And so these prophets are not, it's not difficult. What they do is they come and they do these things that impress people, and then people want to follow their words. And That's because they don't know their Bible to start with, because the Bible tells us over and over and over again what the true test is. Come with me back past 2 Peter to 1 John. The first epistle of John, chapter 4. God says through the prophet, he says, "Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord." See, God isn't unreasonable. He doesn't expect you to just go by blind faith from whatever you hear somebody saying. The Word of God makes sense. It makes sense if you've got sense. Now, a lot of people don't have sense, so the Word of God doesn't make sense to them. Those people are also tend to be people who don't know much about the Word of God. They just assume that the Word of God doesn't make sense, and so they never check into it. And you know, the Lord says, "Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." You can get your sins forgiven if you just get to know this book. You can have salvation.
Yes, sir.
1 John chapter 4. "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God." So that's what we're talking about. How do you do that? "Because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Now, John's writing to the same people that Peter is. "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world." So that's a pretty simple test. Now, that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, do you believe, what John is saying here is, do you believe that the Messiah has already come? Now, that gives you some idea of who these false prophets that Peter and John are talking about are. They are Jews, or according to Revelation, say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Because who's denying that the Messiah hasn't come yet? Just, you know, unbelievers out there, they don't care. They got nothing to say about it one way or the other. It's the Jews today who claim that Messiah hasn't come yet, that Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the Christ, and that he's already come in the flesh. So we have some idea of who these people are going to be dealing with, and who Peter is warning them about. And that's a pretty good, pretty easy, again, you know, let's go after other gods. No. Jesus is not the Christ. Yes, he is. It's a very simple test. Peter, even Paul, when he's talking to the Corinthians about the gifts, he says, "No man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed." Well, that's not a tough test. Somebody's going around calling Jesus accursed, you know that they're not speaking by the Spirit of God, no matter what kind of other signs or miracles they're doing. 2 Peter chapter 2. So again, my point to you there is, it's not that difficult. It's really not all that confusing. Are they worshiping the true God? 2 Peter chapter 2. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. See, that's the thing. They're denying the Lord that bought them. That's what John just says. They don't confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Moses says they're going after other gods, because if you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father either.
That's right. For sure.
So you're worshiping something, you know not what. If you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, you can't, in accord with God, say that you're a worshiper of God and deny the Lord Jesus Christ. So now, but before we get down there to the end of the verse, there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. Now there is a correlation here that Peter's bringing out. It's not just, well, every generation has false teachers and false prophets. The false prophets of old are as the false teachers that Peter is warning the people about. Now, what did the false prophets of old say? Come with me to Jeremiah chapter 14. Jeremiah 14. And this is an example of what we read over and over again from these false prophets throughout the Old Testament. Jeremiah chapter 14. And begin in verse 13. Jeremiah 14, verse 13. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, Ye shall not see the sword, neither shall ye have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. So, there's not going to be war, there's not going to be famine, everything is going to be fine. In fact, I guarantee it. I'll give you assured peace. What does Paul say? When they shall say peace and safety, then what? Sudden destruction cometh upon them. Assured peace in this place. And that's the issue. You're in Jerusalem. There's going to be peace in Jerusalem. Then the Lord said unto me, The prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and a divination and a thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart. So Peter says the prophets of old, the true prophets, spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Here God says these guys are false prophets. I didn't send them. I didn't speak to them. I didn't move them to say those things. They're saying them out of their own heart. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that prophesy in my name, and I sent them not. Yet they say, Sword and famine shall not be in this land. By sword and famine shall those prophets be consumed. And the people to whom they prophesy shall be cast out in the streets of Jerusalem because of the famine and the sword, and they shall have none to bury them. them, their wives, nor their sons, nor their daughters, for I will pour their wickedness upon them." So you've got the prophets there, and then you've got them that follow them. That's exactly what Peter's talking about. And the Lord says, they're telling you that there's going to be assured peace, and I'm going to give them the exact opposite, and everyone who listens to them is going to be in the same boat. So, and again, this is a sample of what we see over and over and over again. The prophets the prophets speak soft things to the people. Tell them what they want to hear. Mm-hmm. See, now what that tells you, you know, well, these poor people, they were led astray. God, you know, you can't blame them. They got these prophets who are speaking for, you know, in God's name. And punish the prophets. Okay, they're liars, but how are the people supposed to know? Well, the prophets are only speaking what the people demand of them. The prophet says, they say unto us, speak not hard things, but speak soft things to us. See, these prophets are giving the people what they want. So it's the people are not innocent in this. And that's a lot of what goes on in every age, including today, is that people hear what they want to hear. And you can speak until you're blue in the face, and they're not going to hear if they don't want to hear. They're only going to hear what they want to hear. Paul says they want to have their ears tickled. He tells Timothy, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Because the time is going to come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they get the teachers that they ask for, rather than submitting themselves to the word of God. Back in 2 Peter now. It's a temptation that we all need to be careful of.
Yes, sir.
Just closing ourselves in to a certain sect or circle. And yeah, you ought not be running around with heretics and with unbelievers and that kind of thing in terms of the work of the ministry. But you know as well as I do that a lot of people will not come to the word rightly divided because everything they've ever heard has been different. And you say that we need to rightly divide the word, but you know, that's not what I was taught. Well, sometimes you need to get away from what you were taught. In grace circles, there's always advancement in understanding. Everything needs to be tested. Everything needs to be tested. You don't want to get stuck. Dispensationalists are stuck back in Acts 2 with Schofield and Larkin and all the rest of them. They came that far, and that got settled. This sounds pretty good. This is where we're going to be. Then you come along and you tell them, well, it's good that you went that far, but you didn't go as far as God needs you to go, and let me show you why. And they don't want anything to do with it because people hear what they want to hear. So it's important for us. Don't think, you know, you think that you've got everything. Well, so do they. You know, don't ever think that. There's always learning and advancement to be made. It's like that with politics too. People get in their own circles, in their own cliques. They take in information that agrees with them, and you never see the other side. The other side may be 95%, you know, full of beans. But that means there's something there for me to learn. Right? There's still 5% there. 2 Peter 2. That was a commercial. But there were false... But there were false prophets also among the people. I didn't hear that. Even as there shall be false teachers among you who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. So now, these false teachers, they're not just out there. Peter says, there are going to be false teachers among you who privily shall bring in heresies, damnable heresies. What's a damnable heresy? Well, even denying the Lord that bought them. You deny the Lord Jesus Christ, that's damnable. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn you. You're already condemned. You believe on me and you can be saved. You reject me, you deny me, and you're damned. Now this here, turn over to Jude, a couple pages to your right, just before Revelation. They'll come in privily, bring in damnable heresies. You know, it's a good thing to know that there is such a thing as a damnable heresy. Ask your average guy on the street if he is willing to acknowledge the existence of hell at all, which actually I think most people still are, because they just haven't thought about it and they've always heard about it and they figured, okay, they tell enough people to go there in their life. Why do people go to hell? Well, they're murderers. You know, who goes to hell? Murderers, you know, child molesters, you know, they'll come up with their list. And their list is all about what people do. Peter says there's such a thing as a damnable heresy. That's not about what you do. That's about what you teach. It's about what you believe with regard to what's being taught. So you can go to hell for bad doctrine. Does that mean if I don't have everything right, I'm going to hell? No. That's why we've already seen. Are you following the true God, or are you going out after other gods? Are you denying that Jesus Christ was the Messiah and has already come? Are you denying the Lord that bought you? I mean, again, it's very simple. It doesn't need to be complicated. It's not complicated. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. So Jude was started out with the intention of writing just a kind of share the faith, you know, my faith with those of like precious faith, kind of a letter, glory in God, talk about his salvation. And by the time he picked up the pen, he realized that there was a problem there, and that this common salvation that he shared with some of these folks, they were starting to get shaky on. So he says, I wanted to write to you just about our common salvation, but now I've got to write to you to contend for the faith. There's a fight. You're involved in a battle here. The faith which was once delivered unto the saints, for there are certain men crept in unawares. So Peter says they're privily bring in damnable heresies. So these people are in their midst and they creep in unawares. That is, they put on the front to start with and they say, I'm one of you. Yay, welcome, you know, welcome to the fold. And all the while, they've got other intentions. Certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So these are those same people. And that bad doctrine here is leading them to bad behavior, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. So, and then he goes on to talk about Jude and 2 Peter are very much companion epistles. You really can't study the one without referencing the other. It's kind of like Ephesians and Colossians. They're very closely related. When you read the two together, 2 Peter's only 3 chapters, Jude's only 1, so it's easy to do. Study the two together, and it's remarkable how one enhances and acts as a companion to the other. And they're writing to the same people. So Jude's got the same problem that he's got to warn the saints about back in 2 Peter chapter 2 again. Crept in unawares. So Peter says they privily bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. So they are in fact denying the name of Jesus Christ. Now the reason they're doing that, John says, that if they confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, they're of God, right? If they don't confess that, they're antichrist. So they're denying that Jesus is the Christ. Why are they doing that? Because they got another. They got another. And they're going to get people, and he's going to do some serious miracles too. Mm-hmm. And they're going to try to get people successfully to follow him. And that's the whole idea there. Listen, there are a lot of people today who say Jesus Christ never existed, never came in the flesh. That's not who John's talking about there. We're talking about specifically these people at this time, in that when the Antichrist is at the doorstep, assuring peace to Jerusalem, to Israel, and they're going to say, here he is, the Prince of Peace, the peacemaker, the one who's going to come and save us from all of our enemies. Finally, after these thousands of years, bring peace to Jerusalem. So they're denying the Lord. Now, boy, try to edit myself here. Get 1 John again. That's just a couple pages away, and we were just there. Chapter 2 this time. First John. Chapter 2, verse 21. Well, back up. Let's get verse 18 and pick it up from there. Little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be manifest, that they were not all of us. So what these guys want to do is they want to come in, they want to come in privily, start speaking damnable heresies, and their mission and their purpose is not to just stay there with, you know, in this congregation of Christians. They go in there and they gather up as many as they can, and they leave, and they take that group of followers with them. They go in to lure followers after themselves and then take them out. So John says, they weren't of us. If they were of us, they would have continued with us. But they're not of us, so they went out. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not, they've got the Spirit of God in them. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. So John's got to do exactly what Jude is doing. He's writing to Christian people who know, but he's got to warn them. It's the same thing for me and for you today.
Yes.
Don't ever get the idea that you're strong enough to expose yourself to what you know is untrue. There's something about it that you like. You like the personality of the guy up there. You like the music. You like the philosophy. You think the guy's got interesting stuff to say. But you know at the bottom of it that he's not he or she is not preaching the truth of the Word of God. And you think that you can expose yourself to that day after day or week after week or year after year and not be dragged down. And you can't. You won't. You stay away from that stuff. They got nothing for you that you can't get out of the Word of God, and you get it better out of the Word of God. The Word of God will give you the truth, not just something that sounds good. Remember, those you know, tickling ears. Scratch your ears and get out of there.
Okay.
I write to you because you know these things, not because you don't. No lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. So, and he says, let that therefore abide in you, that you have heard from the beginning. And that is a common theme over and over again in these kingdom epistles, and especially the book of Revelation. Hold fast. Hold fast what you have until Christ comes. Fight for it. Don't let anyone take it from you. So let that abide in you that you've heard from the beginning. Now, you know what? Let's look there. We've got 5 minutes. Revelation. Starting chapter 2. Let's kind of skip down through this passage and get a few verses here. Revelation, first three chapters are the seven epistles to the seven churches. that John writes, those seven tribulation churches that the Lord comes and gives this very kind of specific revelation to. He doesn't tell them any, he doesn't give them new truth. What he does is he says to each one of them, I know what you're doing right and I know what you're doing wrong. And you need to quit doing wrong what you're doing wrong and hang on to that stuff that you're doing right. That's basically the seven church letters here in Revelation. Revelation chapter 2. Verse 12. To the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. So they're being tempted to deny the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We won't go look there in Matthew. The Lord said, we know the verse, he that denieth me, him that I will deny before my Father. You confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. But if you deny me, I'll deny you. So that's the big temptation here. And hold fast. So that's a good thing that the church at Pergamos is doing. If you look, we could really just go through all of these. He says get verse 18. Unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works. And he says that to all of these churches, and that's the big issue here, is their works. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, so here's one of those people, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed to idols. I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. So here again, you got the false prophet, in this case prophetess, and what's she doing? Let's go after other gods. You know, it's interesting. I keep saying to you, it's the Word of God that's the cure for this kind of stuff for you. But you know that it's not just the Word of God, but it's the Word of God rightly divided. Right? And listen, both of those parts of that statement are just as important as the other. Because people will be misleading with the Word of God. So again, you got one verse, you got another verse, how am I supposed to know? You rightly divide. You see what this Jezebel is doing? She's seducing my servants, in verse 20, to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Now that's interesting. We're out of time here. You've got, let me just give you these verses here real quick before we leave. You've got verse 25, that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. Chapter 3, verse 3. Remember therefore how that you received and heard, and hold fast and repent. Verse 11, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. So you hang on to that truth, and you get a death grip on it. Yes, sir. And do not let it go. Do not let anyone take it from you. And don't expose yourself to those who would. Back to Jezebel. Calls herself a prophetess back in 2:20. To teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Come with me and we'll close it up here to 1 Timothy chapter 4. We'll close on right division here. 1 Timothy chapter 4. So she's seducing God's people, false prophetess, to eat things sacrificed to idols.
I'm sorry, Dave. One more.
1 Timothy chapter 4.
Thank you.
No problem. 1 Timothy 4. Paul writes to you and me, "Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." So here we got the same kind of situation. You've got false prophets, false teachers, and they're seducing God's people. What are they seducing them to? Seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. Now look, which one of those two verses are you going to live your life by? Because if you live by one and you say, "I'm not going to listen to seducing spirits, I'm going to eat whatever I want," then someone comes along with revelation and says, here's this, you're listening to Jezebel. She's seducing you to go ahead and eat things that you're not supposed to be eating. And when they're in that tribulation and Jezebel is trying to seduce them to eat things offered to idols, she's going back here and saying, look, these people who call themselves Christians, they're commanding you not to eat things offered to idols. But look here what Paul says. They're seducing spirits. You ought to eat things offered to idols because the Bible. Right? You can eat whatever you want. And Paul says that anyone who tells you different is a seducing spirit. For you and me today, it's the exact opposite. So how do you know? Well, you rightly divide the word of truth. Otherwise, you end up siding with the devil, holding your Bible, and failing to rightly divide. So, all right, we will leave it there. I don't think we made it through verse 1, but that's okay. Do you have a question? Yeah, Benny.
So-called miracles, you know, how people just go all out now, just go by places, you see, get your miracle today.
Get your miracle today, yeah.
But what they fail to realize, during the time of Moses and Aaron, those guys threw their rods down, and they became living snakes.
Right.
The only thing was different was when Aaron put his rod down, it ate the rest of it.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Cecil B. DeMille's movie characterization about Moses did it.
Yeah, right. Well, that's good. That's a good point. Yeah, yeah. But the Pharaoh's magicians turned their rods into snakes. Just like, and that's another thing too, is that Satan counterfeits God. He doesn't create. He counterfeits. So anything you see that's in error, you can be sure that it is a direct answer to some truth of God that God insists upon. Satan comes in and does and says, "Yea, hath God said?" And then he says, "God's a liar." Yeah, Brady.
Most of the false prophets today, they really don't believe in the redemption power of Jesus. Because when you deny him, you deny the redemption of the blood, the atonement of it.
Yep.
And most false prophets don't believe. When you take that away, you don't have anything.
Amen. Amen. And that's what Peter, that's the part we didn't get to in the first verse, is that denying the Lord that bought them.
Right.
And that's the issue there is redemption.
Right.
And they deny the Lord and they deny redemption. Yeah, Alex.
You know, the big thing is no one has the Bible. They don't read it. Nobody knows about the Bible. The whole Catholic religion. I mean, they're going and there's no Bible. They have nothing. They don't pick up anything. Find out what he said.
Yeah.
What did he say?
Yeah.
What did he say?
Well, that's what the priest is for, to tell you. Yeah.
And forgive
yourself. No, you're right. You're right. And it is sad, and it's frustrating, and. You know, Paul says that swift destruction is going to come upon them because they received not the love of the truth. And they went through the dispensation of grace, whatever part of it they did, and they refused the gospel of the grace of God and found themselves in that mess, in that tribulation. Yeah. Yep. It is very sad.
That thing about indulgence, that has nothing to do with sex. When you turn your back on God, that's what he considers you being an adulterous nation.
Yeah, right, exactly. Exactly, right. When it talks about
on him.
Right, she caused them to commit adultery. That's going after other gods. That committing adultery and eating things offered to idols are the same thing. It's not talking about necessarily physical sex. Yeah, Jeremy.
What's that word privately mean?
What's that?
Privately, what's that word mean?
Privately.
Privately.
Yeah, yeah, privately. It's one of them old English things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, we're out of time here. You know, for all of these people, the problem with error is that they're going to end up in hell because of it. You know, you take the mark and, you know, these people, they were with the Lord and then something happened there and they fell away. For you and me, we don't have that fear. But this is the dispensation of grace. And what that means is that we think more about other people than we do about ourselves. So what's the danger for us? The danger for me in teaching error or falling into error or not speaking the truth is that the other guy is going to end up in hell.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
So do you understand grace or are you just satisfied because you're safe? That's all I'll say.